to Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up, top five later on. Rachel McGrath from CNN. Just a moment, we'll talk to Steve Kastenbaum, more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Dennis Pitzenbarger. Davey Nipples.
What?
You just have this wry look on your face.
I just found this really funny thing and I put it on my friend's comment page. Do you remember this?
Is this one of those days when you're really tired and so everything is inexplicably hilarious to you?
No, this is
the pills. You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them back. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. It's the worst episode of...
Is this Saved by the Bell?
Yes, it was the special where she was trying to get good grades and she got addicted to caffeine.
Sorry. Really? You're making that up. Really?
No, that's her freak out because she's been out too long because she's had too many caffeine pills because she needed to get straight A's to get into college.
She has a mental breakdown from taking too much caffeine. Play that again. Now that it gives a whole...
She couldn't find chiclets.
I'm serious. With pills. You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them back. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse,
Oh, it was the best.
That's the worst
ever.
Thing I've ever heard in my life.
How come there's no reaction from the audience?
She needs to sing in the talent show, but she can't because she's too strung out on caffeine pills.
On caffeine pills. I thought it was a real drug for a second.
No.
Oh, good God almighty. All right. It's 503-733.
Where does one get caffeine pills?
I don't even think people buy those anymore. Do they?
No.
Only kids in sitcoms.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the city that never sleeps. That was just retarded. There's no other word for that. CNN radio correspondent from New York, Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
Hello. Boy, weekend mornings are just not the same without that show.
It really is true.
Do you remember that episode?
I actually do.
You and my brother, sir, would get along very well. He was a Saved by the Bell fanatic. So,
great show.
All right. Hey, Steve Kastenbaum, what's up in your world, brother?
Well, you hear about this texting story going on?
I was talking about this. Good segue. Look at you being all Mr. Smooth action. I was talking about that this morning. Here's the thing, is that every time I had this sort of whiplash, this mental snapback reading the story this morning, because every time somebody gets ready to pass a law restricting what I can or can't do in my home or my car or my house or my hovercraft or whatever, my first reaction is to become infuriated and then to call for some sort of revolution and the heads of those who were involved. My second reaction, in this case, it was just to become really irritated because I realized that this is a law that actually makes sense because I am this guy. I do this. It says one in five drivers text messages, and if it's between the ages of 30, between 18 and 34, which I still am at this point, it's one in three drivers.
Uh-huh.
And I will be the first to admit this. Not only do I receive and check text messages, I send text messages, and I am a menace while doing so. And I will cop to that right now. It's amazing that I haven't run down scores of people at this point, and I mean that seriously.
So you do it only at red lights or even
No, what are you, high? I do it all the time.
Oh, man.
And the worst and best part about it is, look, here, I have this thing called a Motorola Q, which is like a BlackBerry.
Uh-huh.
They advertise it. I swear to God, I don't think they actually use the words while driving. But they say, like in the advertising, it can be, all functions, including text messages, can be done one-handed. Clearly, what other possible, I mean, unless you're engaging in some sort of inappropriate self-love, really, what other interpretation of the phrase can be done one-handed is there other than while you're driving? Steve? Steve, everything is hilarious to Sarah today.
Pills, you mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them back. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so
You're a terrible person.
Jesse,
All right, well, now I have to play this. Now, while waiting for Steve Cat, I was going to play
this.
Including.
No, this is it.
I beg your pardon?
You're like a tot Swedish boy. You're like 14 years old. It's a gorgeous
I didn't.
All right, there you go. All right, I got to edit that down so I have it ready to go at all times. Well, Steve's gone. I was talking to Steve, and then he vanished. Well, all right. It's 503.
Did you say something against Saved by the Bell?
I don't.
That man, might have found offensive.
I will not have that show diminish in this way. It's hey, Craig. Well, just let us know if Steve hollers back, as they say. Well, let me get some of these phone calls, which are piling up about Southeast and Inverse and 23rd and Rockwood and Robbie Williams. Jason, hello, sir. You know, they assured me tomorrow. They claim that by tomorrow this problem will be solved of me not knowing when people are gone. Let's try John. Okay.
Oh, sweet Lord.
This is fantastic. Look at how much we're getting done. Steve.
Yeah.
Hi, sir. How are you doing today?
Not too
this
bad.
Is not, no, this is different Steve. That, get wrong, Steve. All right, no, go ahead, sir. Sarah's high.
That's a good feeling.
Did you give me that Claritin?
I did give you those caffeine pills.
I'm completely nuts right now.
I did give you all that caffeine this morning. I gotta sing! All right, Steve, how can I help you, sir?
I just wanted to let you know, I got a Robbie Williams karaoke CD, and every time I bring that out, people start hooting and hollering. I like Robbie Williams. He's great.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And, yeah, there's a lot more people out there that like him than I think most people realize.
I like him myself. I'm not a gigantic Robbie Williams fan, but I am more than a casual Robbie Williams fan. I remember the first time I heard, Angels was like his only thing approaching a single here in America. And then there's a hideous Jessica Simpson cover of it. Have you heard that Jessica Simpson cover of Angels?
Accidentally, I was walking through a Safeway and it was on, and I just thought it was the worst thing I'd ever heard.
Yeah, it's terrible. And the fact that you heard about walking through a Safeway should tell you all you need to know. I was I remember the first time I heard that song, Let Me Entertain You, which I was just blown away by. That was the song that really made me a convert. And then he has that record out now called Swing When You're Winning, which is just him doing a bunch of standards, like a bunch of old Dean Martin type stuff, which is really, really great. So I'm glad to hear that there's Robbie Williams fans out there, because he only has a $100 million deal with Capitol Records, so.
Hey, that wouldn't be a bad title for your show on Thursday.
Wait, what is that, sir?
Oh, what did you call it? Come Out Swinging or something
like
that?
No, he did Sing When You're Winning, which was his pop record, and then he followed it up with Swing When You're Winning, which is a bunch of covers of standards, of sort of like Rat Pack style stuff. So if you haven't checked that out, you really, as Kurt Loder would say, do try to catch it.
Will do.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
Excellent.
Love the show.
Thank you, Steve. Oh, the Robbie Williams. I'm going to do one more, and then we'll talk to Steve Kessman. Pat, hello. Yeah, there you go. Job done. Let's welcome. Let's welcome back to the Rick Emerson radio program, Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
Hey, I just disappeared there. I don't know what.
Yeah, you really, really did. It's been a bit of a day.
One of those days.
Well, it's too bad because I was building up into a whole rant. I was giving the whole thing about text messaging, which I don't feel like repeating now. So I'm simply going to say, what was the last thing you heard before you got cut off?
You're talking about how you do this all the time, and
I'm just saying this. When they sold me the thing, when they sold me the Motorola Q, which is like a BlackBerry,
right.
Unless they're referring to me engaging in some sort of inappropriate self-based behavior, the phrase can be used one-handed can only be interpreted to mean while driving.
Is that how they market that thing?
Well, it's not like the first thing they tell you, but it's definitely there in the bullet points. I mean, that was a big selling point because I researched it on the web, and that was a big, all functions can be done with one hand. Now, unless they're just going after the cripple market, I got to think that they're, that's a whole thing about can be done while speeding down a highway. And I will say this too.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have a device that's like a smartphone, like a BlackBerry or a Blackjack or a Trio or a Q, when you start getting text messages and emails and just everything constantly, once you become acclimated to that, like, you can never go back. I can never go back to having a regular cell phone now. Ever, ever, ever. Now, I don't know that I'll always have this. Maybe I'll keep this device. Maybe I'll get a BlackBerry. Maybe I'll get something else of you. But I can never go back to having a regular cell phone. It's like hot and cold running communication beaming to me constantly. But, of course, it may be just dependent on this sort of immediacy. So the instant I get a text message, I have to check it. Then I have to instantly respond to it. The only problem is this always happens as I'm careening down the highway in a 2,000-pound box made of steel and glass.
I feel you, because they gave me a BlackBerry when I started the job here at CNN. It's my first one ever. And I can't put the thing down. It's really bad.
And so there's one out of three people who are between 18 and 34 who text while driving. And really, I do have to say this. As much as I'm not in favor of limiting what people can do on their cell phones while driving, because in my opinion, if you can't talk on the phone and drive, you really ought to just go take your own life. You know, if you can't speak, it's one step above walking and chewing gum. But texting, I mean, I have to look down. And of course, do I slow down? Do I stop? Do I pull the car over? No. I just look down at my lap. And so there I am, typing away.
Well, lawmakers in New Jersey think that's really dangerous, so they're they have a bill in the House of Representatives in Jersey that they're trying to push through that would make that illegal, and it would come along with fines of between $100 and $250. And there's three other states in the country that are considering similar laws. So how long before every other state jumps on board with this one, right?
No, it seems like it is a thing that, as much as I complain about the infringing of personal liberties and so forth, it does really seem like a thing that's going to contribute to thousands of accidents in the coming years if they don't do something about it. But I mean, what can you do? I mean, there's nothing new, because it's just like you can't stop idiot women from putting on mascara while they drive, and you can't stop me from shoving a Carl's Jr. $6 burger into my face while I'm going down the road.
Yeah, I think this is sort of similar, but at least, you know, while you're eating, you can still look where you're going.
I suppose. It's just the whole thing. I am the first to admit that it just makes me a bad... And I'm not, like, a great driver under the best of circumstances. So, all right. Well, so is this going to happen, or is this going to be one of those things that they threaten and then it just goes away?
I think this one has a lot of force behind it, and it looks like it will eventually pass both houses in the state legislation in New Jersey. And once that happens, I'm sure several other states in the area will pick it up, and then we'll have the domino effect across the U.S. Although I was in L.A., and I couldn't believe that you could still use a handheld cell phone while driving.
Oh, well, you can only achieve a top speed of 5 miles an hour in Los Angeles anyway. What are you going to hit?
True.
Hey, before we go, would you like to share any Saved by the Bell memories with the audience?
Oh, geez. I don't know if any of them are family radio friendly, to be honest.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
What Saved by the Bell were you watching?
You know, when you're a young guy watching that show, never mind.
Kelly Kapowski, did you have a little bit of a crush on her?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What can I say? You know, as a victim of Saturday morning television, it's geared towards doing that.
Doing what, Steve?
Never mind. I have some other news.
No, I think we'll just wait here in awkward silence.
It's, you know, when you're a teenage kid and you're watching those shows, you know, you get ideas.
Like what?
Ideas.
Ideas about architecture?
No, women are attractive.
I don't think I'm picking up on your meaning, Steve.
Yeah, I think I'll leave it that way.
All right. Uh-huh. There you go. Steve Castro. Thank you, sir. We will talk to you soon.
All right. See you guys.
CNN radio correspondent Steve Castro.
I like him. He's a good fit.
Yeah, we're going to get a phone call about that one. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This email says about Saved by the Bell. Rick, I so love Sarah right now. This is from a man. I so love Sarah right now for playing what is the ultimate Saved by the Bell sound clip. At my last work, we used to quote that phrase all the time when things got really busy. I'm so scared.
Pills. You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them back. What? I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited.
It's so horrible.
That is a quote, like, throughout all of high school. Me and all my friends, everyone knows I'm so excited, I'm so excited, I'm so scared.
Oh, it's genius. He says, and speaking of Jell-O, out of nowhere last night, my wife started making Jell-O at home. I just sort of stared at her for a while, and she kept acting like she wasn't doing anything weird. Keep in mind, never once in our 10 years of marriage have we ever made Jell-O. Finally, she felt my stares and just brusquely said, we don't have anything else to eat, okay? Oh, how sad. Are there stores where you live, whoever you are, Todd? All right, it's 503-733-2970. Everything is hilarious to you today. I think you should come in underslept and on drugs every single day of the week. It's 503-733-2970. All right, we got a couple minutes here, but not much. Again, we got a break. We got to come back, bottom of the hour. Rachel McGrath, top five. What shall we do? Well, I could read this and then this.
Or the Thora Birch story again.
I'm going to read the Thora Birch story again, and then I'm going to read this thing about traffic. And then I could play John Anderson's Swingin'. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. In case you haven't heard the best story of the day, from the New York Post, the nation's finest newspaper, founded in 1811 by Alexander Hamilton. We have this. This is Thora Birch. You know her as the large-bosomed daughter in American Beauty. She was also Steve Buscemi's sort of illicit love interest in Ghost World. She was the girl that maybe not noticed that Scarlett Johansson was even in that film. This is the New York Post today. The crew making The Winter of Frozen Dreams. I'm going to read this like once an hour today. The crew making The Winter of Frozen Dreams in upstate... start again. It's a film crew we're talking about. The film crew of The Winter of Frozen Dreams in upstate Schenectady was horrified when the father/manager of star Thora Birch insisted on watching the filming of her sex scenes with Dean Winters. Even though it's industry practice to shoot sex scenes on a closed set, Jack Birch, I would like for everybody now to understand the full horror of this by mentally inserting, wrong phrase, by mentally substitute yourself in Thora Birch's place here. Imagine that this is not Thora Birch and her dad. Imagine this is you and one of your parents. And then you will appreciate how wonderful and awful the story is. Even though it's industry practice to shoot sex scenes on a closed set, Jack Birch demanded to be present as his daughter and Winters simulated intercourse last week. Intercourse is an unpleasant word. It was so wrong, said one insider.
That's my favorite line.
I mean, do you suppose he even asked? Or is it like that in their family? Does he not have to ask? Is it understood? It was so wrong, said one insider. The director is saying, harder, faster, and the father is giving Dean Winters the big thumbs up. Oh, good God. The dad apparently, quote, looks like Charles Manson in a full-length leather coat and wraparound sunglasses, even at night. He is apparently, according to one observer, quote, so unphotogenic you can't take your eyes off of him. Nothing like John Merrick. Jack Birch was on the set every day giving orders, even telling director Eric Mendelbaum where to place his camera so that Thora would look her best. God almighty. They had, guess how many times they had to do the scene?
I don't even want to know.
This is Thora Birch having some sex scene that her dad is insisting on watching the filming of. A problem with the focus on the camera necessitated 14 takes. It was the most bizarre, perverse scene, said our witness. One girl in the crew broke down crying.
That part before.
Fantastic. Now I'm revealing a little bit more each time. Oh, that's great. Harder. Faster.
Okay.
There you go. Well done. 503-733-2970. I'm just going to read this one little sentence from the newspaper, and then we'll take a break. Look at all of this goddamn email.
Are you taking us to break?
I can.
Oh, I thought you were playing something.
Oh.
Weren't you playing? I thought you just told him you were going
to
play something.
Oh, I was threatening to play John Anderson's Swingin'. Here, I don't even know that I have time to explain why. I'll do it later. No. I have all of this email to get to as well. Rick, here's a couple of suggestions for the listener party. We have listener party 10 coming up Thursday, April 19th. Speaking of which, we have some other exhibits that are going to be on display. We're doing sort of a... Somebody suggests we call it, like, the Smithsonian Museum, somebody blah, 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 Emersonian Museum. We're not going to call it that. But it's going to be like a history of the Rick Emerson Show. It's going to be all kinds of display pieces and artifacts and... And just sort of the bits of bric-a-brac, as they used to say, tchotchkes, and so forth, from the gewgaws, from the history of this program. So this is the 10th listener party, almost the 10th anniversary of the show. So we're going to be having all kinds of stuff on display from the history of the program. Somebody asked if the skull is going to be there. George, the skull will be there. The mystery sound, the box, the cable box that generated the mystery noise that we just tortured people with for like a month and a half, the mystery noise thing will be there. I've got a bunch of terrible, terrible, I mean, I want you to understand, Rick Emerson gives. He gives and gives. I have some terrible publicity photographs of myself that I will have on display there. Photographs so bad that no one on this show has ever seen them. No one in the studio has ever seen them. I keep them hidden at home behind an iron gate, behind a false floorboard. But I will have them on display because I care. Rick, how about Listener Party 10, helping the retarded? How about this one? Listener Party 10, eating your soul. Whatever happened to the I'm going to eat your soul guy? All right, I'm just going to read this, then we'll break. This is from the business section of the Oregonian today. This is just a key phrase here. Business leaders demand to keep traffic moving. Business leaders on Thursday called for spending $350 million more annually on Oregon highways to prevent the state's economy from becoming a prisoner of congestion. The Oregon Business Council and the Portland Business Alliance released a statewide cost of congestion, blah, 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 blah. The new study concluded that easing congestion would benefit the state's economy by $1.7 billion a year. And then you skip ahead to the end of the article where it says this. The 2005 cost of congestion study estimated that even after all of the construction projects currently on the books are built, cars and trucks will still experience a 50 million hour delay a year by 2025. And what this means is they have no plans. What is it, 2007? So they have no plans for at least 18 years. To do, how about using your goddamn turn signal for it? I think that if you don't use your turn signal like three times in a row, you ought to be taken out and shot by the side of the road. And I'm not suggesting vigilante justice, you understand. I think this ought to be codified into law. But I think that if you try to turn, like your steering wheel and your turn signal ought to be hooked to some sort of auto, like some computer underneath the hood. And if you try to change lanes without signaling, and if you do that more than two or three times in a row, your car just catches fire. You're burned to a cinder on the spot. Anyway, so for 18 years at least, they have no... Do we have to break?
Yes.
I'm just saying, no plans. Big grains of salt. No, I'm going to be saying that all day. I didn't even watch the show and I'm going to say
it. Oh, man, it is the best episode, hands down. Oh, so good.
Best Saved by the Bell ever. All right, 503-733-2970. Back after this, Rachel McGrath from CNN, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, and the top five. You don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Joke and Disney is next. High as a kite. Why, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You know why? It's because it's the Claritin is packed full of some kind of illicit stuff, not illicit.
Well, plus if it's two cups of coffee and an entire caffeinated Vito.
Oh, well, see, I think we've deduced the source of this. All right. Yeah, that Claritin, the thing about that Claritin, and we'll talk to Rachel McGrath here in like 5 seconds. The thing about that Claritin is, it's sort of a mystery drug because it's got this loratadine stuff. I should go look that up in that drug Bible that the person who cannot be named gave to me.
Is that like Wesson?
Yes, it
is. Whatever it is, it's fabulous.
Sure, it's with loratadine. And extra flavin. I don't even know what I'm doing now. 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. Do we have a music bed for Rachel?
No. I mean, should I just play Roops?
Could you hum something?
No. Yeah. I think I can look for something.
All right, hold on. Let me just,
Pills! You really are taking drugs?
I need them!
You've gone crazy. No.
You can't see
no,
me.
No. This is completely, this
I'm
doesn't
so
work.
Excited.
You can't. You can't just use this every time you want to introduce. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath. Hello, Rachel.
Well, it was a bit pathetic, wasn't it? I mean, really, you'd have tried a bit harder.
I suppose that is an accurate, if somewhat brusque, assessment of the situation. Yes?
Can you not whistle a little tune, Rick, or something?
It is the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, it is the Rick Emerson Show. You're right.
I would like to point out that I have a staff who completely failed to support me just now, though, as I was attempting to bring you onto the show. At no point did anybody volunteer to provide musical accompaniment. I do not feel the blame rests on my narrow shoulders alone, Rachel.
Oh, all right, then.
All right.
All right.
You sound completely unconvinced. Let's move on to neutral territory, shall we, and talk about this smoking ban. Hey, I was just talking to Steve Kastenbaum in New York about this. I was talking about how I am, in fact, a menace when I drive because I do. He was using, because in New Jersey, they turned to this thing where they're making it They don't make it illegal to text message while you drive because it just turns you, it turns even an able-brained American into a blithering idiot when they're behind the wheel. And I'm not excluded from that. What I am excluded from is being one of these moronic parents who decides to get in the car, roll up all the windows, and then just fire up a Marlboro because they decide that the kid's lungs aren't quite black enough. You know, and I see these people all the time, and they're always coming out of convenience stores. They park at a 7-Eleven, they go in there, they buy a carton of Lucky Strikes, they come out, they get in there, and they always make sure to seal up all of the windows of the car before they begin smoking. And the kids are rolling off like they're in some mini San Quentin gas chamber. And so California, who are long, you know, California is often considered as being sort of a liberal left-wing crazy fringe of American society. But this is a fine idea. This idea of banning smoking in your car when anybody under 18 is in it. That's what, because that's what they're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. Basically, it's legislation being introduced by Senator Jenny Oropeza, who's a Democrat from Long Beach. And what she's trying to say is that if you light up a cigarette, a cigar, or puff on a pipe whilst you're in a car and there's anybody under the age of 18 in that vehicle with you, then that should be illegal. And she wants you to be fined $100.
I think that's fantastic. And I think if you violate this, you ought to be taken out of your car and you ought to be beaten senseless by the side of the road where others can mock your pain.
Yeah, I don't think that's on the legislation, though.
Well, that's only because I have not been elected to California government. But you know what?
There's a reason, Rick.
I believe that the people would enjoy my brand of fresh, blunt honesty.
But you know, there are people who are against this. You know, obviously they're smokers, and they say it's just another incident of the government invading their privacy, and it's a nanny state, and they, goodness knows that they know they shouldn't smoke with their children in the car, and most of them don't. There you go.
I suppose. But 90% of the people who have children ought to have been sterilized at birth. Most, you know this is true. And again, I'm not trying to be flip about it. I mean, the vast majority of people in this country are just not all that bright. And it does seem like the dumber you are, the more fertile you are for some reason. I don't know why God doles out favors that way. But it does seem like if you have an underactive brain, your reproductive system just makes up for it in spades. And so you just crank out children. Like no business, and you just see these poor kids, and I was one of these kids who just, you know, have a dad who just smoked like a freaking chimney, put down 3.5-4 packs a day. Meanwhile, I'm stuck inside a truck with him while all the oxygen is slowly being depleted, you know, and I'm growing up with lungs like the West Virginia coal miner. That's nobody's idea of good. So does this have a chance of passing? Because what happens in California sets the stage for everywhere else in this country.
Well, yeah, but, you know, this isn't particularly legislation that's peculiar to California. Other states have looked at this issue, too. And basically, it's because the medical evidence, the scientific evidence, is overwhelming about how secondhand smoke causes health problems, especially in children. You know, asthma, of course, it's a carcinogenic, causes cancer, it can cause even ear infections and other things like that that really can affect a child's health in the long term. So, you know, it's based on scientific grounds. I think there's quite a lot of support for it because, let's face it, California doesn't want you smoking on the beaches, doesn't want you smoking in public places, in some of the parks and so on. So I think it's just another symptom of the times we live in, and I think it's probably got quite a good chance of passing. But of course, it really is, at the end of the day, it's about education. It's about just sort of hammering home to parents that if you smoke, don't do it in a car with the windows sealed and your children in the back of it. And that's what the people promoting this legislation are trying to get through as well. They realize that, you know, we're not going to have sting operations by California Highway Patrol, you know, to pull over smoking motorists. They just can't see that happening because presumably CHP perhaps has more important things that it should be focusing on. So they're not expecting that it would lead to a huge police crackdown on cigarette smokers. But they, you know, they do hope that it'll get the message across that really, you know, this is actually a very harmful thing to be doing, and they want people to stop doing it.
In your experience, is America either ahead of or behind the curve when it comes to smoking legislation? I mean, is the rest of the country already on the we got to get rid of it because it's bad for people bandwagon, or are we at the forefront of that?
Well, just speaking from my own personal experience as somebody who was born and raised in Britain, and when I go back to Britain, although it's changing a little bit now, it's absolutely dreadful going out to restaurants or pubs or public places. It's filled with smoke. I can't stand it. So America, actually, I think, in terms of the public places, and certainly California, is leading the way in getting rid of cigarette smoke, you know, in places where people who don't smoke have to put up with it. So I think it's a very good idea. I mean, I'm like you. My father smoked like a chimney. I can remember walking into the living room to watch TV and, you know, this smoke, film of smoke across the room, being in a car with a smoke. Of course, we didn't know at that time how dangerous it was. So I'm all for it. And I think certainly in California, I feel the benefit of the legislation as personally, and it's certainly ahead of the UK.
Excellent. All right. Rachel McGrath, thank you so much for joining us today. We will speak with you again at some point in the future. Enjoy your day, Rachel.
And make sure you have music next time.
I know. I'm sorry. Well, I'll work on it. I'll administer punishment where necessary.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. There you go. Rachel McGrath, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent in Los Angeles, who clearly hates me.
Hates you.
Hates me.
Hates you.
Can't stand me. Boy, and
that
I was,
laugh is kind of unnerving, though.
And I was trying to be funny. I was, and in fact, I would say this, at the risk of just...
I think she came out swinging.
At the risk of just waxing my own car, as Paul Thomas Anderson would say, not only was I trying to be funny, I would say I was damn funny. I would say my jokes were 100% accurate. I would say my jokes hit their target. I would say that my delivery and my wordplay was excellent during that exchange. She just doesn't like me. Well, anyway.
Not even the smallest
bit. Not even the tiniest bit. Her opening words. That was pathetic. Just right there. Bam! Go for the legs. All right. It's, let's see. Here's another, here's another article, about Thora Birch.
And her creepy father?
Yeah, apparently he's been, extremely, making the crew extremely uncomfortable as he backseat directs his daughter's love scenes. Oh, okay. We mentioned this. Jack Birch met Thora Birch's mother, Carol Connors, as her co-star in Deep Throat. Except I don't remember. No, like I've only like seen Deep Throat a whole bunch of times. I don't want to talk about this. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. He is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
To and stole from God. The words of Rex Loy, the pastor of a downtown Portland church, has acknowledged taking church money intended for charity in the poor and gambling with it. At least $30,000 was taken in 2006 in a fund designed to help struggling members with rent, bills, and food. So apparently, he's undergoing treatment for addiction and post-traumatic stress stemming from being addicted. Oh, he apparently was abducted at gunpoint 12 years ago in San Francisco and forced to play Russian roulette.
What?
He was abducted at gunpoint 12 years ago in St. Louis and forced to play Russian roulette.
That never happens.
Apparently, that's what he said happened in this case and led him to this, well, this outrage against the Lord.
Okay, well, there you go. So try not to have that happen to you.
Meanwhile, four men have been arrested in the island of Crete. After part of a man's ear was bitten off during a brawl during Greece's 4-1 loss to Turkey in a soccer game, this happened when a bunch of Bulgarians apparently ganged up on a lone Greek man who was watching the match on television.
Okay, now in the story, a bunch of Bulgarians
bit off a Greek man's ear.
A Greek man. Doesn't the nature of the story, don't the Bulgarians seem, when I say four Bulgarians, doesn't it seem like they'd be big burly guys? And when I say a lone Greek man, doesn't it sound like it would be just some tiny gray-haired dude sipping an espresso?
Mm-hmm.
You handed me this thing about Jack Valenti. I didn't even notice this. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah.
Jack Valenti suffered a stroke. Is he dead?
No, he's alive.
Well, okay. Well, there's always time.
He's been around for a long time.
Oh, man, he's a bad person.
I mean, he's like the smiling cobra of Hollywood.
He is a terrible person. Jack Valenti.
But he has perfect teeth.
He is a terrible, awful, that's only, man. He is an awful man. He's an awful man by everybody who's ever had to deal with Jack Valenti has said that he just.
That's God's punishment, I suppose.
That is the assessment of the CBS Radio News Department. We are now speaking for all of CBS. Rick.
Screw it. Rachel McGrath already hates you anyway. Go for broke and play the Benny Hill theme. Yeah, totally. The Benny Hill theme, which you all in the new generation know is that music that they play during V for Vendetta on the variety show. I don't think I'll play that for Rachel McGrath. Thanks very much. I think I'll pass on that. All right, here's Tim Riley.
The family of the late Army Colonel Pat Tillman said the investigation into his death is shamefully unacceptable. Yesterday, the investigators said they found no criminal negligence on behalf of his friendly fire death, saying it was accidental. In a statement released yesterday, Tillman's family called on Congress to thoroughly investigate. Well, of course they will. They'll thoroughly investigate anything. But nothing will happen. Meanwhile, he's back and he wants donuts. A seagull named Steven is a yearly visitor to the Super 8 Motel in Duluth. It's a big celebrity thing up there. A manager, Jody Chambers, says every spring for 5 years, the bird has shown up and made a ruckus when he spit.
The cranberry muffins, he spit them cranberries right back out. Doesn't like them at all. So we kind of went to the sugar cake donuts, you know, with a little bit of sprinkle of sugar on top, and he's a big fan of those.
Silly for
I'm okay.
Spit them cranberries right out.
I'm sorry.
You missed that.
I had a mouthful of Chex Mix when you were talking about how the seagull eating a donut was the highlight of the season in Duluth. I'm sorry. Who can dispute such a thing?
Not can you think of anything better to dispute? What might come to mind?
I'll
take it back.
I'm sure there's a barley festival of some kind. Some sort of a dirt parade.
The alfalfa family festival.
Totally. Where did everyone get going to crown a lentil queen? Everyone gather in the town square. All right. Jack Valenti. Oh, and he was a presidential advisor, too. I forgot about that. So who was
he goes
it?
Back.
Tell me it was to Nixon.
No, Kennedy, of all people.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He goes back a long, long time.
Terrible person.
He always managed to keep a job.
Yeah, he knows he's evil. He sold his soul to the devil at some point.
Now he's about to meet the devil.
Really might. All right. That's the opinion of CBS. Not just CBS News, it's a bit of everybody. We'll just continue this little break. We'll come back at the top. Dennis Pitsenbarger will be joining us, Dave Eaton Eagles, and so forth. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the Netherlands may ban hallucinogenic mushrooms after a teenage tourist died. Of course, it's nobody from there. It's people acting up who visit. The tourist allegedly jumped off the bridge after taking the magic mushrooms. The Dutch news agency reported that the Dutch health minister, what could he possibly do, has ordered a special study into the mushroom effects after a majority of parliament was in favor of the ban. Dried magic mushrooms are illegal in Netherlands, but fresh magic mushrooms are bought and sold freely.
Tell Art Linkletter to keep his children away from the Netherlands.
Is he still alive?
No, but that's a joke for the 2% out there that even know what I'm referencing.
The Netherlands are known for their tolerance for soft drug use and government-regulated coffee shops that sell small amounts of mushrooms and cannabis.
Oh, I didn't know they sold mushrooms, too. I thought it was just weed.
No, mushrooms, too.
All right. Do they sell now? Are those the only two things they sell there?
Yes.
All right.
Well, illegally in a shop. You can buy anything on the street.
An amphetamine?
Yeah.
They sell hash, too.
Now, what is... Do I want to ask this question? And if I ask this question, will someone in this room answer it? And if so, will that lead to awkward? How do they know this? I am a very dull person. Everyone knows I'm an uninteresting person.
That's just your opinion. Right?
I'm an uninteresting person in most ways. Now, the difference between hash and marijuana is...
It's a concentrated form of THC. Is that what it is?
Yeah, tetrahydrocannabinol.
Yeah.
That's it. But so hash is like a distilled version of that. Why do I suspect that Davey can tell us this when he comes in, or Dennis, for that matter?
Dennis, pot leaf tattooed on him.
Dude, can I just tell you this about Dennis? So I walk into Dennis's office the
other
day.
What's he going to tell his children?
I don't. That's a good question, actually. You know, he's got that big-ass pot leaf tattooed on his arm. What is he going to tell that daughter of his? What is that? It's a fern. Shut up. Watch the Wiggles.
From the Amazon rainforest.
I have no idea. Never mind. We'll talk to Dennis later. Anyway, I don't really care. I'm not going to go to Amsterdam, so it doesn't really matter. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, you should someday do a little traveling.
Okay.
Let's do the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch for Tuesday.
Michael Jackson has plans for a 50-foot robotic replica of himself to be in the Nevada desert town outside of Las Vegas.
Imagine driving through the Nevada desert if you didn't know it was there, and suddenly you come upon a giant robotic Michael Jackson looking down at you in the car. Good God.
Okay. The plans are part of a promotional assault on the city that, should the singer land a semi-permanent show there, according to the New York Daily News. It would be in the desert sands. Laser blades would shoot out. Laser beams would shoot out of it.
Laser blades.
Laser blades.
Attack helicopters and fire. You have angered Robot Jackson.
It's almost like I took a Claritin from it there.
Wait, can we start this
it
again?
It made sense to me when I read it.
Do you want to read it from the top?
Sure.
I'm confused.
Sorry. Right,
well, let's start again. And didn't really understand.
I'll read it more slowly.
All right.
Michael Jackson has plans for a 50-foot robotic replica of himself to be sighted in the desert town just outside of Las Vegas. The plans are a part of a promotional assault on the city should the singer land a semi-permanent show there, according to the New York Daily News. It would be in the desert sands. Laser beams would shoot out. And it would be the first thing people flying in would see.
And you know, when you talk about a promotional assault on the city, am I the only one who pictures him kicking over the... like kicking over a building, like on the strip. It's like a huge Godzilla Jackson. Sort of a kicking over Tokyo thing, except he's stomping on the MGM.
So the robot is designed by André Ben-Pierre. And it's being produced... Oh, what is this?
I don't know.
I'm
over
is
here.
Is this a real story?
Yes. This fellow has also produced a sketch stage set of a gargantuan video game with human cyborgs controlled by the audience. That means something to somebody. Michael looked at the sketches, and he likes them. He recently bought a house in the Gambler's Paradise and has met with several hotel owners about a residency show at many of them.
I don't even know what a 50-foot robotic Michael Jackson would look like. I mean...
I mean,
I guess the obvious answer is to say it looks like Michael Jackson, but what does that even mean? I mean...
What was the name of the Barbra Streisand giant robot?
Mecha Streisand?
Yeah. That's what I just keep picturing.
From South Park, I guess. I mean, maybe it would look like that thing on the cover, that history record. What was that? Was it History or whatever that the compilation was where he had that huge... It was in Asia, and he had the huge, the giant statue of himself that the children were all clinging to, and...
I don't know, it was whatever.
All right, so... Apparently, there's going to be a 50-foot Mecha Jackson outside of Vegas, which at some point...
A robot,
which will break loose from its moorings and attack the city. All right, necessitating Robert Smith from The Cure to fly in over a hill and turn into a giant butterfly and scream at it.
Well, good enough.
We're on drugs. Here's the Rick Emerson Show's Jackson Watch for Tuesday. Thank you. Imagine that you're even the slightest bit high. Sarah, try to imagine you're even the slightest bit high. And
please stop saying I'm high.
Coming into Vegas and you crest over a hill and looking down at you, you see a giant 50-foot Jackson with laser beams shooting from his eyes. I mean, that would mess your crap up. I mean...
Come on, that would be the best thing ever.
It would. Rick, about Rachel, the British humor is sophisticated. Yours, not so much. My humor is completely sophisticated, ass. Let's see. This is good. Chad says on the screen, Chad can answer any THC question. Chad, hello, sir.
Hey, how we doing, Rick?
I'm okay. So, okay, marijuana hash, difference, go.
Yes. Hash is a derivative of the marijuana plant. It's basically the sugar coating on the dried buds that you would normally smoke, or the flowers.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not quite a distillation, but basically, you know, after the plant is dried and, you know, you've got the dried flowers, you could kind of shake it on a screen, or you could twirl it in a little bin and you collect the dust, and that's what hash is. It's a compressed form of the dust that comes off the dried plant.
And so is the effect when that you smoke this?
Yeah, you do. You smoke it, you can put it on top of some dried flowers, or you can just smoke it on its own. And it is basically, in a way, a concentrated form of the THC, because a lot of the THC content of the flower is in the little THC glands, which is the sugar coating.
All right. And so what it is the effect that you, when you take hash, is the effect that it has on you merely like a concentrated form of what happens when you get high?
Yep, it's more pronounced, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and because of the way the brain works, it, when it gets high, if you smoke too much too fast, it can't handle it, and it goes into, like, tilt mode, you know. But and that's why so many, you know, stupid American tourists get all whacked on, you know, on when they're over in Amsterdam because they just smoke too much too fast. But, yeah, it's, hash is a very concentrated form of just smoking the plant.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Right on. Rock on. See you guys.
There you go. Chad. That's a Chad. Fantastic. All right. Let's do, let's see, one more here. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
So I've got a desert. You come upon Mr. Jackson, and he's looking down, but the only thing you really see is one giant white glove, and he's touching himself.
So you're just speculating. This is what, in your world... Kristen is having the screen. This was funnier when he told me earlier, I promise. Right. Take another run at it, sir.
She was smoking that hash.
Yes. Take. So let me understand. Let me try to dissect where the comedy was supposed to be here. Are you saying that it would have a better effect if when they built it with Michael Jackson permanently adjusting his sack?
That's it.
Well, that is funny. See, that's good.
I feel better.
All right, see.
See ya.
All right, thank you.
There you go.
All right, that's Ed. Steve. I'm sorry, that's Steve. And Ed is, all right. Well, let's just pretend that whole call didn't happen. 503-733-2970. Take a break. We'll come back. Top of the hour. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Davey Nipples. Dennis Pitzenbarger. And so, somebody, and I won't say who, someone on the Rick Emerson Show is screaming that the guy who called about THC was wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. It says in all caps, oops. 503-733-2970. Like us at 3. Donna Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.